Hi, I'm Jerry Scullion, and you're listening to Gut Talks Double G U Double T.
Hi, I'm Jerry Scullion, and you're listening to Gut Talks Double G U Double T.
There you go.
I was super shy actually as a kid. I would never say anything.
Really?
Yes.
And look at you now. Look at
well,
you.
I still am somehow, but. Yeah, I mean, if I look back, I'm like, oh my God, I mean, I'm a different person.
Yeah. And what changed?
What changed?
Yeah, for you. What worked for you?
It was, well, I was already in my 20s, to be honest, but it was when I made the decision, first of all, to get out of my circle and where I was and around people I knew. I wanted to be around people. No one knew anything about me. So I felt more comfortable. And the other part was the key one is I decided to say yes to things and just go for it. And that was a mental rough road actually to decide and to apply actually. That was the key part. But then this is what changed it for me. It's like, I don't care. And I'm just going to do stuff.
It's funny. That's one of the things that Hector Garcia said the other day. In his podcast, we were talking about saying yes to everything for a period of time, and then going into monk mode. I love he called monk mode. I'm like, yeah, I'm a monk mode, but it was saying yes to everything is one of the best things. And what difference did that have for you then? What happened when you started saying yes to everything? You must have been drunk every single night of the week. You coming out tonight? Yes.
Funny thing is, I don't drink.
Neither do I.
Yeah, I don't drink. So I put it that way. I don't eat anything that is bitter. I don't drink coffee and I don't drink alcohol. I only drink a glass of Prosecco with my neighbors.
For breakfast.
That I'm saying to dinner. No. yeah, and that's it. Never liked it. I also went to Mykonos, funny enough, with friends, and they're telling me, are you sure? I said, yeah. They're like, are you sure? And I felt like they didn't really want me to come until I realized, like, okay, this is what they meant. And I was just up partying between brackets, just standing up with everyone drunk around me. So I was just like, So
they were in bed late the next day, and you were the one who was like, up early, like, you know, watching the sunrise.
Yes. So anyway. Well, I mean, this podcast is about you, but I'll answer the question.
No, it's about both of us. Like, people want to know about you, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, I feel as I'm like, as we're moving along with this podcast, because obviously I had no idea what we would be talking about, which I like. Yeah. I knew it was going to be fun and interesting. It's because you're a podcaster also.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know more about you. For people to know about, you know, some backstories. Saying yes, I remember, I think I was in Cyprus and I was kind of planning to go back to Italy and I got a scholarship and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back, start again, whatever.
Yeah.
Even though I was like, okay, start again. Like, does it make sense? And I'm like, you know what? It's kind of a sign. Like, you know, sometimes you get things, just go along. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? And I was kind of on holidays also back then. I was like, just say, I'm going to say yes. And whatever comes my way, I'm just going to say yes and explore and see what happens. So I started doing that all the time in any kind of decision. I mean, I can't recall everything, but that was the first one. But then I started also opening up more. Like, I had this thing, and my mom always, that's, you know, my mom always used to tell me, when someone says, how are you, say, very well, thank you, and you. Like, don't just say, I'm good, thank you, you know.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, just say, and you, like, you know, just don't end it here. But when I was... Before also in Italy, I was also studying. So I think I had some students from other masters who would come and ask me to give them feedback on their projects.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like I'd never understood why. But I was also just trying to meet everybody, going to all the masters, to all the lectures, just meet people. Like I knew pretty much everyone. So... Yeah. But them coming to me was something where like that some friends picked up on and they were like, you should teach.
Mm-hmm.
And then I applied to teach like late, like a year after. And I got in. And when I got in after 2 weeks, because they needed someone, and actually I knew after that they had to take someone else. But then when I applied, they decided to take me first. I was like, okay, I'm so not ready for this. I was freaking out. And then I said, okay, if I don't do it now, it might never happen again.
Yeah.
Like things happen. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
I looked like the students. Like I was, they thought I was a student, put it that way. But yeah, things like that. So
we're all students, aren't we, at the end of the day? Like, you know,
yes,
this was
yes.
Politecnico di Milano, isn't it? You teaching?
No. So that was when I was teaching in Lebanon. And then
okay.
after I started teaching in Italy. So I moved to Italy in 2010. Then I went back to Lebanon in 2011, went back in 2015. I was still, so my brain was elsewhere and my body was in Lebanon at some point. And
yeah.
then I was like, kind of, okay, what do I do now? So yeah.
It's, you know, training and education, they're very similar. There is a little bit of a difference. I think it's really rewarding. Like when you get a good group of people who really want to learn and they're open to different ways of learning, it's so rewarding. Like it really is. Like you go home at the end of the day and you don't feel tired. You feel empowered. Like that's the way it is for me anyway. It's, I love it. Literally, I love it. Like, you know,
I think, when I started teaching, I had a colleague that I would call my mentor because I was always going out with her. I wanted to learn, you know, more. She had like 25 years of experience teaching and she was, still is great. And she could bring, like, get the students to do things that are unthinkable, put it that way, in like their first year.
Yeah.
So I remember she told me, if you have, let's say, the whole class doing stuff, but if you have one student who kind of sees something, discovers something, that would make your day, she said. It's, and it's so true. And I remember later that year, I was staying like after hour with a student, just going through stuff or project. And then at some point, you know, after, let's say, I think it was after like 3 months or so working on this same project, she was like, oh, and a long oh. And that for me was like a highlight, I think, for life. It's like, this is what I look for when I do stuff. If it's training, like, you know, professionals and companies, or if it's teaching, like, you know, students or whatever that may be.
Yeah.
This is like brilliant.
That's it. I mean, I have this phrase that I say to people when I'm training, like, my role here is to bring 30%. I said, you bring the 70%, all of you together. And I'm like, I can do that 30% in my sleep. Okay, right. I can knock 30% out, you know, very quickly. I said, can you bring the 70%? And we have that kind of, it's a social contract, effectively. It's what Adam does as well, an awful lot.
Yeah.
And they're like, hang on a sec, he's only going to bring 30%. That's a fail. I was like, yeah. I said, like, so I'm going to give you the stuff. It's up to you what you want to do with it. And I was like, if this is a bad session at the end of the day, I've done my 30%. I get paid for the 30%. Like, you know, I'll be feeding back on the other stuff. So come on, let's do it. Like, you know, and it's really true. Like, you know, it's, we can show up, we can bring our stuff, but at the end of the day, it's down to the participants if they really want to learn. And that's what's good, but it's also kind of what's bad. You know, I'd love to be able to have a recipe to say, like, you know what? I'm just going to rock up. You can fall asleep. And at the end of it, you're going to have the information. But unfortunately, we still haven't figured that one out. Like, you know, ChatGPT, how do you make that happen?
There we go. So you're jumping into that. So I think this, it's what we're talking about here is really, I mean, there are plenty of stories. Going back to what you say, or what you said, actually. I remember last year I had like a couple of students who just couldn't be asked too much anyway. They just wanted to go out and party and travel all the time. And then they would come back to me and like, just tell me stuff. And then I told them, listen, guys, I know. So if you're not putting in any kind of thoughts in what you're doing, I know. So don't try to just come back to me. Tell me I didn't have time, whatever. But if you want me to help you, just, you know, just to do some work and tell me. Otherwise, I can't help you because, you know what, I don't have the answers anyway. So
exactly.
I think it's really common That's why we're kind of on the same
Yeah.
wavelength. There are lots of stories here. So
Absolutely, absolutely.
it starts with the gut. It ends with the gut. It's in your gut.
Gut Talks.
This is the end of this episode of this segment with Jerry Scully. Thanks for listening and watch out for the next one.